Our help and our only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue the worship service by singing Psalm 85, the stanzas 1 through 4. Psalm 85, the stanzas 1 through 4.
Thank you.
coveted scripture reading in this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. But first we have to confess our faith by the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born by the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and he descended into hell. And the third day he arose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, the book of Jonah, chapter 4, the whole chapter. And we read the last verse 10 of chapter 3 to know what was happened. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? And therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a good, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the good. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the good, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the good? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. And then said the Lord, thou hast had a pity on the good, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So far the reading of the scripture. And let we pray together. Lord, thou hast brought us together among thy word again, but let it be a wonder in our eyes that thou hast made it possible. O Lord, that we may hear thy voice by word and spirit, because men's words are so empty and foolish. Lord, we need thy spirit to make room for thyself in our heart. Thou hast created us so perfect, but we have left thee in listening to the devil. And we believed him. O Lord, we don't really know what we have done in paradise, but let us return to thee. And O Lord, that is impossible on our side, by ourselves. But thou hast turned to us already in sending thy beloved Son to the earth to carry away all the sin of thy people and to reconcile thee. O Lord, it must be revealed to us also after grace received, and feed us, O Lord, with thy word, because the word became flesh, and make empty vessels of us, and fulfill us with thy grace and spirit. We have no right, not at all, but eternal punishment. Let us accept what we have earned, and that we may justify thee in all thy doings. But Lord, remember thy covenant, for our country is full of murder caves, and our heart is full of wild animals. O Lord, there is no expectation of us, nothing at all, only of thee, and thou art so trustworthy. But take away our unbelief, our guilt, and our sin. And we confess our sin, O Lord, we confess our enmity, our guilt, and our transgressions. And there are so many more than the hairs on our head, but thy grace in Christ is overwhelmed and covered all sins. Lord, we come to thee because there is no other one to go. And we pray thee for a blessing in Christ for all of us. Take away the satanic power in our days. Thou hast conquered the devil, and reveal thy power and might, because we are lost without thy intervention and protection. Lord, be with us, be with our children, be with our family, be with thy people around the world, thy persecuted people in North Korea, in China, and everywhere on earth. Lord, we pray for the sick and afflicted, for those who have no place to rest, no house to sleep, and no means to buy a piece of bread. And give them what they need, because a man shall not live by bread alone, but by the words that went out of thy mouth. O Lord, be with the widows and the orphans, the elderly people, and especially the unborn life. Lord, destroy the wicked laws that make abortion legal. It is murder and terrible sin before thee. O Lord, there is so many needs, spiritual needs, bodily needs. Yea, the entire world is in need. But Lord, destroy or convert the illuminates and the governments who are persecutors of thy people and thy doctrine. This world is going down. But thou hast said that we will have many tribulations and temptation in this world. But thou hast conquered the world, and thy people are more than conquerors in thee. O Lord, open thy word for our souls, and that it may be with power in him and through him, who has all the might in heaven and earth. We ask for thy attendance in speaking and listening, in the forgiveness of all our sins. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, the text of our preaching can be found in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. But explaining the text of our preaching, Independence of the Lord, we will sing Psalm 112, the stanzas 1 and 2. Psalter 112, the stanzas 1 and 2. And I will read the first sentence. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. And verse 2, withhold no, not thou thy grace from me, O Lord, thy mercy let me see. The stanzas 1 and 2, Psalter 112. Thank you. beloved, after having taught about the preaching of Jonah and the conversion of the heathen of Nineveh last Sunday, we will think about the miracle tree of Jonah now, or the gourd of Jonah, and his strange behavior about the conversion of Nineveh. And may the Lord lead us in his word and his glory and our salvation. And in the previous chapter, chapter 3, we have seen that God averted judgment on Nineveh. God's command was turned in God's decree. For it says, and he did it not. But Jonah didn't agree with God's mercy unto the heathen city of Nineveh, because it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And Jonah was angry with everybody. He was angry with the Ninevites, but also with God. He could not bear that Nineveh was not razed to the ground. Maybe you point at Jonah. Jonah, you are a murderer. But if one finger points at Jonah, the other fingers also point to a murderer. You and I are murderers as well. And a man does not become a murderer because he murders somebody, but he is a murderer. And that is why he murders his neighbor. We are killing every day. We are murderers from the beginning. And beloved, it is a miracle if we are kept from committing one. And Jonah was also kept from it, but in his heart the prophet has committed more than 120,000 murders. And 120,000 Ninevites were listed on Jonah's death roll. Jonah, the prophet, was angry with God. He burned with anger because God did not destroy that wicked city, but instead turned judgment away. Now Jonah thought, now the Lord can destroy this wicked mess at one blow. And it says, and he did it not. It is maddening, Jonah must have thought. And he got very angry. But who would say to his maker, what doest thou? Before you condemn Jonah, beloved, you must allow me to first explain for his anger a little more. And if people are angry with each other, they usually do not want to see or to speak to each other anymore. And you might think that Jonah did not ever want to have anything to do with God. But not so with Jonah. Jonah's anger was not projected at the person of God, but at his dealings. There's also sin, but it is different. By nature, every man bears malice against the person of God. And that accounts for our state of death. We are at enmity with our Creator, beloved. And Jonah was not. No. He was not at enmity with his Father in heaven. But he was angry because God was so merciful to the Ninevites. While God's law demanded the destruction of all Nineveh. So Jonah was not so much a preacher of the gospel, but a preacher of the law. Actually he was a brother of Moses, in spiritual sense. Moses and Jonah were upholders of the law. But biblically, legal, it was legal. Not illegal. The law is legal. Jonah demanded that the Lord maintain the requirements of the law according to his own word. And Jonah did not want to have anything to do with mercy for the Ninevites. He would not be relented. And all Nineveh had to be destroyed according to the requirements of the law. Period. So Jonah's anger was not unfounded, but without mercy. His anger was not to be justified, but it was understandable. He argued, God transgresses his own law, but I shall uphold that law. And therefore he could not agree with God's mercy, although he knew from experience that God was very merciful and gracious in Christ. Slow to anger. But Jonah had forgotten his own origin, so that he got angry with the Ninevites. Now, people of God in our midst, if we forget our origin, we will play the harlot with our first husband, the old man. And then we are not driven by the love of the second Adam, Christ, but by the zeal of the law. And then we have more fire than a light. Yeah. In your first conversion, most people of God have more fire than light. And here Jonah had more fire than light. Not with his preaching. No. His preaching was legal. Was commanded by the Lord. But on the result of his preaching. But then we read something beyond our comprehension. And it says, and he prayed. And somebody says, it is hard to understand that Jonah should fold his hands and bend his knees in this condition, isn't it? Yes, it is. But listen to what he prayed. Jonah wanted to lecture God even in his prayer. Listen. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? And therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So Jonah portrays man after grace is received. And do you know what Jonah did? He began to excuse himself by glossing over his disobedience. A man is awfully slow of understanding. So are God's people. Fake religion is not. No. The rich young man had never objected against God's decree. For this young man could abide by the law. But when Christ wanted him to sell all his possessions, a viper emerged from his heart. Not the poisonous one. It is true, but the weeping viper. The devil weeps for sorrow when Christ says that this earth passes away, and the lust and all the lust thereof. And for the moment this world passes away, and the devil cannot tempt one more person. And that is why he in such a hurry to tempt as many souls as possible to drag them to perdition. But the devil always works after the facts. But dear friends, the devil will surely have wept most loudly when the Ninevites turned to the living God. The devil will surely have outcried the Ninevites when they cried to God. Now Jonah has Jonah also had such a roaring devil in his heart. Yeah. You should not think so highly of God's servants. For when you hit a man in the flesh, it's like a trampling on the devil's tail. You may probably say, is it really that bad, preacher? No, it is even worse than we think. Pray much for discovering light, and you will automatically meet the devil within. And when you have discovered this devil, pray then for covering light. Yeah. And Jonah didn't say, Lord, it is good for me to have been afflicted. No, he now began to defend his flight from the presence of the Lord. He began to gloss over his disobedience. Say, Jonah, in the belly of the fish you were brought back on your right way. Right through the depths of the Mediterranean, and you are now going to gloss over your flight? Yes, Jonah would say. I have always thought things would go wrong, and that is why I fled away, for the gospel is too broad. I have not been brought up like that. I have been brought up in the law, and I could not wish fire to come down from heaven to so that all Nineveh would be destroyed. So Jonah is going to make complaints to God. He prayed, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Yeah, and like Elijah, Jonah is tired of life because God converted people. Now, the prophet Elijah was tired of life because he thought there were no more converted people. That is actually the opposite. But in the case of Jonah, it concerns heathen. And salvation was of the Jews. Yeah, that was Jonah's problem. And that was the cause he was so angry to God. If God had converted so many Jews, Jonah would have danced with soul's delight. He was a Jew in heart and soul. And he cursed these Ninevites in his heart, the heathen. He condemned heathen of the Ninevites. And he would rather die than behold God's mercy into Nineveh for even 1 minute. And he prayed, Lord, you better take me now, for I cannot bear the sight of it any longer. Yeah, and if at that moment Jonah would have had the disposal of an atomic bomb, he would have pressed the button immediately. Yeah. If at that moment he would have been a general in the army, he would instantly have commanded all jet fire pilots to bomb Nineveh level to the ground. Yeah, for sure I believe that. And he would have done anything to raise Nineveh to the ground. And Jonah did not want to have anything to do with mercy concerning the Ninevites. He wanted to uphold the law. So Jonah and Moses are brothers upholding the divine demand. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now Jonah has made an application for the Ninevites. Oh yeah. Jonah would not hear of a forgiving God for the enemies of his people. But now God is a God who reconciles enemies to himself. Yeah, that is so miracle, beloved. God is a God, you're justified and godly. Yeah. Do you know it by experience? God who reconciles enemies to himself. And Jonah admitted this in his prayer to God. In his prayer he proclaimed Christ all sufficiency for the vilest of sinners. And for he said, "For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Now what Jonah prayed, he had experienced himself. He knew this from experience. He prayed, "For I knew," he knew it. He knew this from his own experience. And he had learned this in his personal conversion to God. And again, in the belly of the fish. And then God had proved to be the same to him. Now God was not a judge for Jonah, but the Father. And the Father does not punish like a judge. Do you know it? Do you understand that? A father does not punish like a judge. And a father always shows his grace again towards his children. He never punishes and afflicts because he delights in it. And God's chastisements for his people are always of a pedagogic nature. And then great trials are at times necessary to know who God is and who we are ourselves. For God is a God of glory. He is jealous. He is a jealous God of his honor. And he bestows grace first and foremost to his glory, which involves salvation. And when does God bestow grace, beloved? I hear you say, "When I repent my sins." No. No, no. God does not bestow grace when we show remorse. But when he repents of the evil. He has said he will do. And God is always the first. Always. You say, don't you have to show repentance then? Not at all, no. Anyway, not the way you think you must. Repenting of sins is a fruit of grace, but not a condition or a means of payment to obtain grace. Remember that. When God sees a sinner in Christ, he repents of the sentence of the law on the sinner. And he did it not. And this does not imply that God condones sin. No, for he did execute the sentence of the law on his begotten Son. And this is the heart of the gospel and the heart of experience of faith. When this is applied in an hour of love, in the hour of love, God pardons the sinner from guilt and punishment on the ground of the accomplished righteousness of Christ. And when the Lord sees blood on the doorposts of our hearts, he, to speak with all reverence, repents of the sentence to which the sinner is subjected according to the demand of the law. And he did it not. He did do it to his Son. And this must be experienced, for otherwise we only brag out, we brag about experience. Your pockets may be filled with text. But if you lack experience, you still live for your own account, beloved. Your sweet affections and sympathy towards God and his servers are at root only hidden enmity against sovereign grace. And if you lack the necessary experience of the remission of sins. There may very well be a promise, but then is it necessary for you to find out if that promise is also anchored in God's decree? Now imagine you have think you have received a promise from God, but that of its fulfillment it must be said, and he did it not. What a disillusion meant that would be. Now somebody says, can God then break his word? No, he cannot, never. But the point is that we know for sure that God has spoken to us. Spoken in our heart with power of the gospel. And otherwise the promise becomes short of good which quickly withers. For it to be well for for time and eternity, the God of the promise must be our portion, my friends. Now examine yourself. Whether you lean on the promise without being assured that the promiser knows you in Christ. For it says, gather yourself together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the calf, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. You may be glad of the good. I want to say that the good is not a good translation. The good is in a pumpkin. Now, Jonah was not sit down under a pumpkin, but on a miracle tree. That is the good translation, but the King James translation is mentioning of a good, but you know what the good translation is. It is a miracle tree. Now, be glad of the good, for example, that the spirits are subject to you, but the Lord says, the Lord Jesus says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subjected unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That he says, that he have said to his disciples. Are our names written in heaven, my dear congregation? Well, Jonah could say both. But he did not do it. He did not rejoice at all that the spirits were subjected to him. He was, morose. He opposed God's counsel. And this is always very dangerous, for his decree on Nineveh was appointed from eternity. But the execution of his command over Nineveh was not appointed in his council as the decree was. And therefore a man cannot work with God's decree, for his decrees are unchangeable. And every man is subject to his command, for the will of God's command comes unconditionally to everybody, to convince fallen mankind of its responsibility. And we are 100% responsible for our words, deeds and thoughts by nature. And we are also 100% responsible for our original guilt. Now you may assent to this, but by nature no one agrees with this holy demand of God, and that is only learned at Jesus' school. When a man is brought to agree with the demand of the law, it is a fruit of Christ's accomplished work in him. Christ was ahead of his church for an eternity. And in the council of peace, Christ became surety. And then eternity resounded with the words out of the mouth of the Father, for who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, says the Lord? And then the Holy Son of God answered, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You can read it in Psalm 40. Now all the children of God will understand something of the fact that is not them, but God who is the first. And Christ teaches his people to bow by his bowing. Christ teaches his church to pray by his praying. And Christ teaches his children to forgive by his reconciliation. And Christ teaches his disciples to testify by his testimony. And that is only learned at Jesus' school. At this school, one grows in ignorance, like the apostle testifies. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ Jesus and him crucified. And Jonah had also attended this school, but he wanted to preserve salvation for his people alone and not for those wicked Ninevites. And Jonah did not want to share the school desk with such a wicked Ninevite. He downright did not want any heathen in the church. For the church was not for heathen, but for the Jews. And now Jonah had a sectarian tendency. He wanted the church with the door closed to the world, whereas the church owes an open door to the world. As to this, he would have felt very at home with the Lebedist and the Baptist. In this state of spiritual pride, God still bore with him, and the Lord kisses his child and, like a father, gently asks if his anger was judged. For he asks, "Dost thou will to be angry, Jonah?" Now God's goodness to his servant is beyond our comprehension, and this goodness of God to Nineveh surpassed Jonah's forbearance. For it was too painful for him. Jonah did not understand God, neither did Asaph, until he went into the sanctuary of God, and then Asaph saw a lamb standing as if it had been slain, a lamb which was wounded in the house of his friends. And then Asaph became a great beast before God. And then he became who he was, the greatest of sinners. For in the sanctuary he saw the Lord Jesus standing in his place. But first let us sing, congregation, Psalm 73, the stanzas 7 and 8. Psalm 73, the stanzas 7 and 8.
Bitter in my
Experience of Asaph, beloved, also applied to Jonah, although he was very much against the grain. Yeah, God's people is often against the grain. And those who sins God forgives are his forever, yes, already from everlasting, from eternity. But in the standing of spiritual life, Jonah was anything but what he should be. For in the right standing of spiritual life, real mind and affections are swallowed in the will of and the love of God in Christ. And true saving faith wants what God wants. True faith does not look at the circumstances, but looks unto God. Faith clings to Christ, the object of faith, and faith works by love. Well, this does not apply to Jonah here, for faith did not work by love. He did have faith, only at the moment he lacked love. Yeah. Jonah make a fault of the doctrine of the justification of the ungodly. He forgot his own conversion. True faith can only turn by the wheel of love, and that is also a thing. Love is not the reason of justification. No. Even faith is not the reason. No. Only the love of God. His eternal decree. But with Jonah, this wheel of love had run stuck, and he had left the city of the east on the east side and sat down in the field, probably on a hill, to see what would happen to the city. And he hoped with all his heart that the Ninevites would not perish in their turning to God. And then God would still destroy the city. But that hope vanished, for the conversion of the Ninevites was genuine, because God was the author of it. Yeah. And in the end, Jonah lost all hope that the city would be destroyed. realizing one thing. He lost his will to live. His heart was so filled with anger and sorrow that he did not want to live any longer. Jonah prayed and besought God that to take his soul from him, but the Lord did not hear his servant. He did not hear Jonah, but he did hear the Ninevites. And how is that? Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in his name, he will give it to you. When we pray in the name of Christ, now we will surely hear by God. And Jonah did not pray in the name of Christ, but in his own name. And such prayers cannot please God. Maybe you have prayed all your life and have never yet received an answer. Now then you have never prayed in the name of Christ. Many prayers are said, but to pray in the name of Christ is only sovereign grace. Somebody says, but Jonah is also a child of God, isn't he? He certainly is. But the prayer Jonah is praying here can never be heard because it is against the will of God's decree. And if we want to be heard, we must pray according to God's will in Christ. And you may ask, how do I know I pray according to God's will? Well, if through grace you are enabled to pray in the name of Christ, you pray according to God's will. But this is a mystery. For then you must listen and wait for God to speak. For it says, my mouth to you great wisdom will impart, for thoughtful and discerning is my heart. And my ear now to a parable inclining, I with the harp will show my riddles meaning. Psalmist says, and this people wait for him to speak, even though it concerns his anger. Yeah, unconditionally. And there are people, many people, who do not mind Jesus suffering the wrath of God, but they have never been willing to bear the wrath of God themselves. Christ died for sinners, these people say, so also for me. But they have never been dead with him. And this is nothing but the religion of speculation. If you have never been dead with Christ, you cannot possibly pray in his name. Now somebody asks, how can I learn to do that? To pray in the name of Christ? You cannot learn this. But you have to receive it by grace through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can only make this abode in the soul if we are dead to the first man. And what is the first man? That is the old man under the law. And an old man under the law, we are all of us by nature. The old man under the law is living in sin. Without reconciliation, we live in sin. And that's the old man under the law. And then is it no longer necessary for a man to know to be or to be able to do something? Because Christ, who has trodden the winepress alone, did everything. If we are died to the old man. A man cannot do nothing to change God, beloved. Nothing at all. Many people pray for grace to prevail upon God. But we cannot prevail upon God. We must be prevailed upon. Also in prayer. True praying is praying in spirit and in truth. For it says in Romans 8 verse 26, I read it for you. And likewise the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And when Jonah was meanwhile chiefing with sorrow because Nineveh was not destroyed, the Lord provided a good to relieve his sorrow, so that he would find some refreshment in the shade of the tree. Yeah. I have to tell you one thing, beloved. Sometimes God deals with his people and servants in the most remarkable way. Yeah, I know it by experience. And the Lord could as well have commanded Jonah to return to Canaan, but he wanted to give his servant further lessons. Yeah, that is what we need. Also, after grace received, further lessons. For I have no human brains anymore. No, I've lost my brains in the death of Christ. Jonah 2. And therefore the Lord provided the good, a miracle tree. Why? To teach Jonah concerning his sovereign dealings with Nineveh. To teach Jonah concerning the doctrine of the justification of the godly. Now that is what we need in our days. The doctrine of justification of the godly. It's missing in our days. And the good shot up in one day and grew up into a full ground tree. It's a miracle. You ever seen that? That a tree is big as a man in one day? Do you see that? I've never seen that. And its shade was so sweet to Jonah. It says Jonah was exceedingly glad of the good. I can understand. And in fact Jonah was happy with nothing. I understand that too. He did not rejoice in God, but in the early dew that would soon pass away. And I have already talked about Jonah's spiritual pride. In his spiritual standing, God's people cannot distinguish between shadow and substance. And then they are usually glad with nothing. Yeah. And then they do not lay their hands on what it is, but on what it not is. What it is not. And Jonah was happy with something in ephemeral, but not with the salvation of over 120,000 souls. And while Jonah persisted in his dissatisfaction with Nineveh, the Lord, in his adorable providence, provided a miracle tree to shelter Jonah from the glaring sun. And even God's children go against the grain. God upholds them nevertheless. Yeah, you have to be God for it. For if we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself, people of God. We can deny him. Look to Peter. God knows the frame of his children and remembers that we are no more than dust. Do you know it by yourself? That you are no more than dust, then your mouth will shut. that God can lead the world into such an extreme situation that his people have to stoop under the world to avert judgment. And we saw this when Jonah was on the ship that threatened to break in the storm. And then Jonah was in the right state before God and man, for he became the guilty one. But here under the good, he was far from his place. And he was waiting for the destruction of the whole city of Nineveh. Yeah. But it was in vain. The Lord God dealt with his refractory child as a tender father. And Jonah lived on God's providence. First God provided the fish, and now God provided the good. Yeah, many people in our days are insured to up their necks, but Jonah had his insurance in heaven. Where is that people who live out of the Lord's hand? I'm sure they exist. But I meet people who speak in high spiritual language, who can tell you exactly what faith is and how God converts his people. But do not confront them with the Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism, for then they shem deafness and speechless. Beloved, I do not your state of all of you, but don't you want to venture with this God of complete salvation both for time and eternity? And many people speak of a great faith, but nothing ever happens. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. If you hear the preachers come out of America to the Netherlands, and they are speaking and they are preaching about the great faith. Yeah. But God is doing nothing. And these people have a little God. Of no God. But Luther says, faith is a wrestling thing. Something is always happening. Now God's true people mostly have a little faith, but a great God. A God both for time and eternity. And beloved, if your life is hidden in Christ, and hidden with Christ in God, God takes care of you for your whole life, forever and ever. And if God in Christ has taken your soul for his account, he takes you all and he takes you as you are. And then he also takes your mistakes and your unwillingness for his account. And God's people live generally on God's providence, on the ground of Christ's merits. And they have a free room and board, for God provides food, clothes, and fellowship. And those are the rights of God. And he who is not lax in spiritual matters can depend on his faithful care. Now, self-willed religion does not accept this, and it must take care of itself. People are always busy with naught and nothing. Yes, they say, we also have our responsibility. Oh, and may I ask what has become of your our so-called responsibility? May I ask? True enough. The Lord will judge us according to our responsibility in the states of innocence. But what has become of our so-called responsibility, beloved? Already in paradise we sinned ourselves to death with all our responsibility. But a man without grace wants to do something, doesn't he? Yeah. He begins to work with his responsibility. Yeah. He polishes himself. He has nothing but good things. Yeah. But his speech betrays him. Do you hear that? Your speech betrays you. And you immediately hear whether a man relies upon his self-righteousness or on the righteousness of Christ. I can hear that. Who leans on his self-righteousness has both good and bad. But Jonah has nothing but bad. That is true people of God. True people of God has nothing but bad. For they know that alone, that only God is good. Yeah. And his God taught him. Jonah could never sin himself out of salvation, for his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jonah was right against the grain, but the Lord bore with his child. God's dearest children are usually the mangy sheep, always going against the grain. And the religion of most people is one of patching yourself up, to do this good, do this good thing and avoid that bad thing. Yeah. And these people have never gone astray, but they have always been able to keep the right path. But Jonah had one path. Departing from the Lord, away from God. Jonah has one way. Away from God. Jonah was like a ship without a rudder, which went all directions except the good direction. Except the right one. I once heard a man say, by nature a man is in a ship of his life with one oar. But when God comes into his life, he gets another one, he says. Yes, this is precisely the language of so-called religious people. And they live on self-redemption. They row and row. Like the marines in the ship of Jonah. They row and row to save themselves. But friends, when God comes into our life, the Lord causes that little boat to row in such a way that you lose that one oar as well. And get overboard with Jonah. Like Jonah. God only saves drowning people. And do you know this by experience? Or are you a stranger in Jerusalem and don't know these things? Has it never been revealed to you that your good is one of self-willed religion? But despite his wrongs, God gave Jonah the privilege of resting under a passing shadow. But friends, that never lasts long. God does not spoil his children on the way to the heavenly Jerusalem. But to speak with all reverence, in Christ God cannot help spoiling his children because he loves them so dearly. The Lord is always close. Is always close to the blackest sheep. Christ is also loved most by the mangiest sheep. The Lord loved Jonah, his child and servant, so much that he spoiled him a bit. And the Lord could likewise have punished him severely because of his behavior. But the Lord took, as it were, his rebellious servant on his lap and spoiled and refreshed him. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still, and therefore my bowels are troubled with him, for him. And I will surely have mercy upon him, says the Lord. And that is how God thinks about his children. Also when they are right against the grain. And God's faithfulness shines like the rainbow of his covenant of grace. And now we have think the first part of Jonah's good. And if the Lord willing, we preach the second part of Jonah sitting under the miracle tree. And Jonah has been singing about for some of 1,000 years now. Remember that. Jonah, the disobedient prophet, if he says, But Jonah has been singing about this for some 1,000 years now, standing before the throne of God. And do you know what he is singing? Through thee alone, because of thy everlasting good pleasure. Amen. Now let us conclude this worship sermon by singing Psalter 241, stanzas 1 through 4. Psalter 241, stanzas 1 through 4. For thy word we have heard, and that we will repent like the Ninevites did. Not to earn something, but as a fruit of thy free grace revealed in our heart. Reveal thyself to us, O Lord, and take reason out of thyself, for in us there is only reason to be punished. When thou hast punished thy begotten Son instead of thy people, O Lord, let us belong to thee, and give us an application of salvation for Christ's sake. We have sinned everything, every day, but thou hast done everything good, for thou art good, and thy mercy never ends. Lord, that we may trust thee, because thou art so trustworthy to be trusted and to be glorified. Make us willing instruments in thy vineyard and in thy kingdom, and let thy kingdom come and destroy the thoughts of the kingdom of the devil. Convert thy covenant people, the Jews. O Lord, it is more than time to work, but thou works always, every day, every minute. O Lord, let it be to our conversion, because thou becomes not poor to give, and thou becomes not rich to help, because thou art full of salvation. Be with us the coming week, keep us from sin and accidents, and give us what we need, our daily bread. And through faith in thee, we pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.